Oh, okay. Hi. I'm Deborah Jackson. I'm a professor at the University of the Western Cape School of Public Health in Cape Town, South Africa. I also work with the Medical Research Council of South Africa, Health Systems Research Unit. I have no relationships to disclose. How do we make this thing go? Yeah, whatever that means. Okay. Ah, there we go. All right, good. So I'm going to speak today on quality of in-home rapid HIV testing by community lay counselors in rural South Africa. You can see here a picture of one of our lay counselors. So these, I'm just going to talk about the quality of the testing. This is a huge project. We have lots of results, but I'm going to focus on one piece. The background is, in South Africa, most HIV testing is conducted by nurses within health facilities. Several barriers to, lots of barriers, obviously, to a conventional model of facility-based testing. And that there's a need for expansion of testing services to non-clinical settings. And given the resource constraints and plans for the new primary health care model, important to assess the ability of lay counselors. Does anyone know how much time? I'll just go quickly. 15? Okay, good, because there's no moderator on the door. So basically, just a bit of background, primary health care, we've got a new health minister, yay, he's very proactive and is looking at doing a complete primary health care re-engineering, which includes community-based teams and a rollout of community health workers, very much modeled on the Brazil primary health care model. And so, and one of the things that they're looking at is whether these lay counselors, these community health workers who are lay people, not don't hold a professional qualification, whether they should be doing things like testing for HIV. So our methods were a cluster randomized control trial, home-based HIV counseling testing and intervention in Sisonke District in KwaZulu-Natal. If you know anything about South Africa, KwaZulu-Natal has probably the highest HIV prevalence in the world. It's certainly the highest. And if you look at the antenatal testing, it's around 44% in antenatal clients. Yeah. So it's basically one of the highest in the world. Sisonke District is a very rural, very under-resourced district in KwaZulu-Natal. We had 11 lay counselors conducted door-to-door visits in 20 rural communities. So these were, it was a cluster randomized trial, so we had the communities, and we randomized them, and half of them got lay counselors doing HIV testing, in-home HIV testing, and half got just normal facility-based testing, whatever was happening in their region. We offered counseling and rapid HIV testing to all eligible clients, basically anyone over the age of 18, any adult, regardless, even 70-year-olds, and down to 14 with parental consent if they wanted to have it. And we did have some. We also did couples testing, which was a very positive thing. And basically they do like a little group counseling for the whole family, and then they would take people into a private place in the home to do the actual individualized pre-test counseling test and post-test counseling. The testing procedures were in line with the district, so we used what rapid test the district was actually using, screening SD BioLine or G-Ocean, and the confirmatory test, if it was positive, was Ascensa. We, in addition to doing the rapid test on the finger prick at the time, we also had the counselors draw an additional dried blood spot so that we could do the quality testing. You know, how good were they in interpreting the results? And the ELISA testing was done at Global and Clinical Virological Lab in Durban for quality control. The data collection procedures, the final rapid test result was input into a cell phone by the lay counselor following a test in the home, and the data is downloaded into a central server. We do pretty much all of our data collection now on cell phones. It's a very exciting technology. As soon as it's entered on the phone, as soon as it's closed, it's uploaded to the central server and is available to look at in real time as well. And so that was basically, and then is exported into pretty much any database format that you want. Then for the lab input, the ELISA was into an internal software program of the lab, but then they exported it to an Excel database, and then we were able to merge the field-based data from the cell phone system to the laboratory data to look at this. This is just a picture of what the phones kind of look like. You can see little, each screen, it's one question basically per screen as you work through. This was a fairly small survey, but we're in the currently doing a survey that's very long, has hundreds of questions, and it still works on the cell phone. It's a really amazing system. So testing uptake, we had 5,086 people tested. The laboratory result was available for 3,981. Most of the reasons for not having one was no blood spot on the card. We were testing everyone, but we ended up with so many negatives, once we had enough sample size, basically, we stopped doing the laboratory confirmation on the negatives, and includes a second test for some clients, so if they were retested during the procedure. The positivity rate in this community, so this is all adults, is 10%. So we have a lot of elder people as well, and young people, so it was a full range. So that's fairly high for a community-based a positivity rate. So we merged the two lab sets, database on lab ID. We did cross-tabulation, and we did sensitivity and specificity analysis based on the Wilson method, which is used for testing, and laboratory-based ELISA was our gold standard. So we assumed that the lab-based was the correct answer. Basically, these are our cross-tab results. You can see that 481 were positive by both the lay counselor and the ELISA. The HIV negative or indeterminate, so if the counselor wasn't sure, was 10, and 10 of these were actually HIV positive in the lab. We had 3,486 who were negative by both the counselor and the lab, or indeterminate, and 4 who the counselor said were positive and the lab test said that were HIV negative or indeterminate. So you can see on the whole, basically 14 people we didn't match up out of almost 3,981, which is very good. So the specificity, the true negatives, was 99.9% with a confidence interval of 99.7 to 99.9, and the sensitivity true positive was 98%, which was 96.3 to 98.9. So very high sensitivity and specificity. They're both quite. What's also important is that the lower confidence bound is particularly for the specificity, meets the international standard for assessing HIV rapid tests in the field, above 98%. So that's from AIDS Info NIH. And so we felt very good about the confidence interval that we were really doing well with this, particularly with specificity, so true negatives. A lot of times the positives, I think because it was a smaller number, so we didn't get quite the confidence interval there. Our conclusion is that trained lay counselors can safely conduct high-quality HIV rapid tests and correctly interpret the results. The evidence supports a recent change in South Africa to government regulations to allow lay counselors to actually do the rapid test. It used to be that the lay counselors would do the counseling and the nurses would have to do the test, and then the lay counselors would come back in. Now the lay counselor in the facilities can do the whole thing, and as I said, the government's looking actively at expanding this to home-based testing in the field, letting lay counselors in the field, who basically aren't as supervised in a day-to-day basis as they would be in a facility, but that their results are just as good. And actually, because they're actually better than some of the ones that you see from nurses in the clinics, if you look at some of the reports. Important implications for expansion of HCT to community-based settings in South Africa. Acknowledgements of the Sasanke Department of Health. We do all of our work very much in conjunction with the Department of Health. They had a huge rollout of other things, but because we work, they actually were willing to still maintain the integrity of our cluster randomized trial to get valid results. They're just a great team in the rural areas. And our field staff, the Medical Research Council, and I'm University of Western Cape, and Clyrol, which is the company that does the phones. So that's a group of our counselors. They go around, I know my status. And so I'll just talk, I guess I'll take any questions now, since there's no moderator. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very interesting, very good question. Basically, these T-shirts that you see were to use to raise community awareness. And in all the communities before we started the campaign, we had a big community sort of engagement. The chiefs would come often and be tested first and then go off with their T-shirt. And so there was a lot of community engagement before we started going house to house, because otherwise you're just pitching up at someone's house and what do they think? So people were more interested in being tested. I mean, we had lots and lots of elderly people being tested as sort of a show to the younger people. Obviously these communities, the elderly are quite revered. So it was, I think in the most case it was a very positive experience. We are doing some qualitative work around it, and I think people do. There was a question: would people want to be in the home? Is it not private enough? But I think people did feel, one, the accessibility of it, not having to get to a clinic. In these rural communities, it can cost quite a lot of money to get to a clinic. In transport costs, care is free, but transport is not. So I think they were quite happy with having it come to their homes, and quite happy. They felt that it was much more confidential and private in the home. And that then they also felt a family support for being tested. So that those experiences so far have been quite positive. As part of it, there is a whole referral. I didn't report on that, but there's referrals for the positives and follow-up. So the community health workers would go back for positives and for negatives. Negatives for retesting and positives to make sure they got into ARV care. Yes. Yeah, good question. I don't have that data, but actually one of my colleagues was a student who's doing all. Oh, the question. Oh, it was just about the referral and how if people are getting tested in the home, then how often are they getting to the clinic? It is way over 80%. There's still obviously a ways to go, but it is over 80% that do get to the clinics. And we keep going and trying to get them to go. So the community health workers would keep going back, trying to facilitate the people to get to the clinic, to get their CD4 and to get their into ART, pre-ART. Unfortunately, in our setting, if they're in a primary healthcare setting, they are rolling out ART into all primary healthcare, which wasn't the case before. So even sometimes before, you'd have it in a facility, but you needed to go to another facility to get your ART care. That is changing. So that's excellent. Next question, and then I think, yeah. We'll just sort of go. I think, but yeah, if we could move on to the next person, it's 15 minutes, I'm finished. Who's next? Let's see.